I have played piano all my life. I learned classical piano, and then guitar was kind of it was like my rebellion to classical music. And guitar I played, and it was self-directed learning, and it was just more creative. I just started off with a much more creative relationship with guitar playing, I think. And it took me a long time to kind of find that with piano. I'm not really sure why. I think, yeah, it's just one of those things, and you get older and you come back to something you did as when you were younger or something.
I think with this record, it certainly helped uncover a playfulness and fun. I think the most of each that I've seen on any of your albums, was that the case going back to an instrument that perhaps was maybe seen less creative because it came from that classical background when it came to learning it as well?
Yeah, I guess it was fun rediscovering the instrument, and so that probably comes through in the playing or the choices of where I went or something. There's like I found this fun freedom with playing, which is kind of new and exciting or something.
With this album in particular, you've spoken about going through a very specific, difficult writer's block. Talk to us about that and what were some of the things, I guess, that helped you get out of it?
I think it's just a natural thing that happens. I think I needed to change. Like the previous two albums are quite emotional. They're kind of more like visceral kind of outpourings. Whereas this record, I'm probably in a more stable place. So I don't have, I didn't have as much sort of like in a turmoil or something to draw from. So I guess it took me a little while to readjust and sort of rediscover the power of just imagination or something, and access the playful kind of fun of just seeing what you can come up with when you're actually, you're not absolutely compelled to just have something pour out of you or something.
Yeah, and I think that element of fun certainly comes across on this album. It was recorded with the band in your lounge room and your home studio. Talk us through that experience because I think, yeah, that fun, that energy is something that comes through when you listen to these songs, especially the ones with the band.
I think that's a real thing, like having just your friends come over and playing everything together, having no pressure. I think it just translates. It's just like obvious to me. I would never want to make a record that where you're just kind of layering parts with a band. I think it's always sounds just so much warmer when you feel everyone is playing together. And also I felt like I had kind of control over how the record was going to sound. I have a really clear idea of how I want my voice and my music to sound, and I feel like this record is probably the first time that I felt like I really was able to completely achieve that, I guess, because Jesse and I were just working on it together.
You've often been compared to a lot of 60s and 70s psych folk, but on this album, there's a more obvious connection to pop. Paul McCartney and the Beatles and the Beach Boys have often come up in reviews. Relating to all of that, I want to go way back to the first taste of this album, which is Grave. That was the first single and it came out at the end of 2018. There's a line that goes, "We're the ones who visit the graves of the rock stars, treading softly on ashes and stardust." And I was wondering if that was in some way a nod to perhaps previous generations of music and maybe the ways in which people have talked about your sound.
Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty old-fashioned in terms of what I like and what I listen to, and that's just the way it is. That I guess Ashes and Stardust is kind of a reference to David Bowie. That song's just about the feeling that the comfort that I take in old music. Yeah, I think it's probably really obvious that I listen mostly to music from the past.
Have you ever visited the grave of a rock star?
Oh, this is going to sound so cliche, but I did last year when Jesse and I were touring, doing a tour in Europe. I went to Nick Drake's grave and cried my eyes out and played a song.
That's
Yeah,
amazing.
like every other folk troubadour.
Did you leave a pick behind?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't do anything like that.
The second single was this really jaunty piano-led number called Evergreen, which has this fantastic video shot at Corral Castle and harks back to a very specific era. For those that haven't seen that music video, can you describe what Corral Castle is?
Oh, it's this bizarre place that's out in the country, about an hour and a half out of Melbourne. It's a recreation of a medieval castle, basically. And it's this kind of bizarre world where everyone that works there seems to be kind of like this crazy commune. Like, everyone that works there is just like so passionate about archery and about, I don't know, they're actually, it's like a tiny medieval community. It's really wild.
I haven't been myself, but I just lifted the tagline off their website, which is a land of adventure. And I think that kind of says mostly what it's about.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty silly.
In a lot of ways, the perfect visual for that single as well, because you've also got this amazing period costume and rosy cheeks painted on, almost playing the role of court jester. And this is one of the tracks that I think is the most fun on the record.
Yeah, totally. We had fun like discovering that, like me and my sister had heaps of fun trying to learn how to do some medieval dancing and... felt like it paired well with music in some bizarre way.